Jeff Grubb says he wants another ringtone-worthy rant from somebody.
There's 2 weeks ago where all I did was yell. He can find a ringtone from there. I don't know if I'm mad enough this week.
Kids these days!
I like kids. Exploding Barrel Podcast for May 28th, 2010. I should get, like, a prize whenever I get that right on the first try, by the way.
Well, that was only the sort of first try. Who's to say you wouldn't have screwed it up until George interrupted you?
Hey, my bad, whatever.
Look, here's our show today, guys. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend, George Kokoris.
What's going on?
You know, not much. How are you? Or is that directed to the audience?
Chilling.
Is that not for me?
That's for whoever feels compelled to answer. Just saying.
All right. I guess it was me. Anyways, welcome to our show. Here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off with the news. Is there any good news, AJ?
There's always good news.
Is there bad news?
Some.
Is what's first, the good news or the bad news?
It's open to interpretation.
Interesting. Am I going to like what you start with this week?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
I feel that I start and end very strongly this week.
Okay, fine. Then we'll move on to the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz. Then we got an either-or setup. I think I do either-or every time George is on.
I guess that's just a... What is that, a nod to my bipolar nature? Is that what this is?
Are you trying
to say something to me, boy?
You work off of AJ very well, so I like to pit you two against each other.
Oh, man.
Then after that, we'll talk about our week in gaming, probably talk about that Mario's game and whatnot. And hey, George played Alan Wake, which neither, me or AJ played. Or AJ
well, that's funny,
because
I played it twice, so I can pretty much cover for both of you.
There's that bipolar thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, we picked Red Dead, you picked Alan Wake. Well, you got Red Dead, too. You still haven't got Mario yet. What the hell, man? Anyways, after that, we'll talk about the game, the releases for this week. We'll talk about the games.
The games.
Game source.
All right, that's the show. Hurry up, AJ. You start talking now. Do your thing.
Let's start things off right with some Sonic the Hedgehog news. So first of all, this could be the good news and or... Yeah, this could be good or bad news, but Sonic 4 has been delayed to late 2010. Mm. Also, possibly good or bad news, they've confirmed, to no one's great surprise, that it's coming to the iPhone with two exclusive levels.
That's kind of bullshitty.
If the controls of the virtual D-pad, not interested.
I mean, how else would it control? With the accelerometer? Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, I know, it's probably going to be pretty awful.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then we also have an announcement of another Sonic game, Sonic Colors, coming to the Wii and DS.
I did not see that one coming.
What is this?
This is, If Sonic 4 weren't to exist there just to make the next shitty Sonic game, this is probably that.
It looks
combination of 2D and 3D. There's some kind of color light mechanic to the game. Like, one color makes Sonic, like, dash forward like a laser. The other lets him drill through the ground.
I think they want to make Sonic the Hedgehog Galaxy.
Basically, yeah.
I don't know.
The Wii version is being developed by Sonic Team. The DS version is being handled by Dimps.
I don't know why, but maybe this won't suck.
That's what we say every time. We'll see.
I don't know. I mean, we don't know anything yet. The teaser trailer was very teasery. I don't know. It had Sonic and Tails in it. And, you know, if you make his crappy new friends power-ups, at least they have a purpose, right?
I guess.
I don't know. We'll see. Everything's supposed to be like an amusement park, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's next?
They've announced that there will be some DLC bridging the gap between Mass Effect 2 and the upcoming Mass Effect 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, would that work as DLC? I know you're not a big DLC fan, but would that entice you if it's kind of like a sort of sequel?
I don't get it. Exactly.
Okay, so you know how there's like Lion King, and then there's Lion King 2, and then they made Lion King 1.5?
Yeah.
And it was pretty good? Maybe it'll be like that.
I don't know. I feel like they're just lying with this whole bridging the gap thing. to make me buy DLC. I bet nothing important happens. Didn't they? Wasn't there an iPhone game for Mass Effect 1 that bridged the gap between 1 and 2 that I didn't play and didn't need to know about?
It didn't so much bridge the gap. It was kind of like just a backstory for Jacob and Miranda. And I guess if you finished it and you were logged in through your BioWare account in the game, it would unlock some special conversations inside of Mass Effect 2.
See,
I never did finish it.
I would have not have liked that because I liked the mystery behind Miranda and Jacob in the game.
I don't think it was anything too concrete.
Well, I just like the fact that you woke up on the ship and you had no idea who they were and stuff. Whatever. I don't know. I'm still incredibly skeptical. Let's say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Mike.
All right.
I don't see the necessity for it.
Mm-mm.
Are you skeptical about Fable 3 at all?
It's impending
release to the PC, which has been confirmed after some box art came out that had like a stamp on it said, you know, only available on Xbox 360 and Windows. And it was like, huh?
What?
So yeah, it is coming to PC. They've also announced the details of the Fable 3 Limited Edition, which is only for 360. Let's see, you get a new quest in Silver Pine Forest, an exclusive location. And unlock a new region ideal for settling down with a family and discovering new treasures.
I'm beginning to think that this game is going to be more Fable 2 Part 2 than we had all originally thought.
Yeah. you got some Fable 3 playing cards, a guild seal coin, a new dog breed, and a unique outfit.
Yes, this is definitely sounding like Fable 2 Part 2.
Yeah.
Which is
so they announced Killzone 3.
Yep.
Has jetpacks.
Right. Jetpacks.
Listen, anything that has jetpacks in it, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt because
I'm getting ready to call jetpacks the lens flare of 2010.
You know what? I don't care because you know
I love jetpacks.
I fucking love jetpacks.
I do too. They've also announced that this game will be in 3D, which will be interesting to see if it's pulled off because people have been talking about how because 3D basically requires you to run at 120 frames per second, like you wouldn't be able to get.
Yeah,
top of the line visual fidelity, but Killzone is a game known for that, so I wonder if they'll be able to pull off with that.
It's just weird how much they're pushing that for me. They're pushing a feature that most people will not use pretty hard.
Well, you know, it needs its killer app. Maybe this would be it.
It's weird because it's a feature that I imagine a lot of people won't bother to use. It's a feature that a lot of people won't be able to use because their TVs won't support it.
Right, I think that's the issue.
And it's a feature that almost a fifth of the human population can't access anyway.
Right.
I like bringing up 3D when George is on the show.
Right. You say that they need a killer app. Was Killzone 2 the killer app that the PlayStation 3 really thought it was going to be? It got good reviews, and it got some buzz. I don't know.
It wasn't the killer app, and you know, like I actually replayed it pretty recently, and like it's a good game, and I actually enjoy it. But killer app, no.
The entire Killzone
Uncharted is the killer app.
The entire Killzone franchise was doomed the day when before Killzone 1 even came out, when Sony called it their Halo killer. That doomed it right off the bat.
Yes. Ever since
that was it,
ever
they
since.
Sealed its fate right there.
And then that bullshot trailer from E3 didn't help matters for Killzone 2.
Exactly.
Well, worse than the lies that kind of perpetuated, it kind of put its place as, well, so it's a graphics demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, All right, what's next?
Well, Halo Reach has a release date of September 14th. Speaking
of
jetpacks,
you know I'm there day
first
one.
Shooters.
Get this.
Huh.
I have pre-ordered Halo Reach.
I am shocked and amazed. Like, already?
Wow.
Yes. Well, a friend was working... When I picked up Mario, a friend was working at GameStop. They're like, do you want to pre-order something? And I know that kind of helps them. So I was like,
Oh, so it was a pity pre-order.
Well, the point is that I had to pick a game coming out in the future. And I didn't want to pick Portal 2 because I wanted to get that on Steam, probably. So I picked Halo Reach.
That was nice of you.
There you go. So I actually pre-ordered a Halo game.
But you pre-ordered just the regular edition, right?
Yeah, I'm not. No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because like,
yeah,
otherwise,
he would be crazy.
Would have been like, yeah, that would have been bad shit.
No.
So the Supreme Court has made a ruling for the NFL. This was a suit brought up by someone who makes hats or something that was upset about an exclusivity deal with Reebok. The basic ruling is that the NFL is really 32 separate companies, that it's each team, and they can't do exclusive contracts like that. It's going back to lower courts. We'll see what happens. Of interest to us is what ultimately comes out of this could impact the legality of the Madden exclusivity deal with the NFL.
Huh.
So we could see the return of proper NFL 2K series, and maybe Backbreaker would get an NFL license.
What is with this Backbreaker thing, anyways? What is this?
The demo's out. I haven't gotten to try it. I have the iPhone game they made.
There's an iPhone version. It basically started as Natural Motion's tech demo for Euphoria, and then at some point they were like, "Hey, fuck it. How about we make a game where you're just a running back, and that's it." So it's just like, you know, really just sort of like condensed sort of, let's take this one little facet of football and then just like punch that up as much as we can, and that's what Backbreaker is.
Okay.
It's like football in third person, basically.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The iPhone game's cool. So what's an episode of the Exploding Bro podcast without talk of music games? First, Rock Band 3.
I care about Rock Band 3 again, by the way. I had to eat crow on that.
See? So the Green Day Rock Band demo came out, and at the end of the demo, you get a teaser screen with the Rock Band 3 logo, the icons for guitar, bass, drums, microphone, and a mysterious keyboard.
Ooh.
Some people are actually claiming that it is, in fact, a keytar that will be released for the game, which I think is pretty radical.
Okay, if that happens, I might actually buy it.
Yeah.
Because, I'm a little excited. Damn.
I'm excited about that. Man, they either need to add the support for the Beatles Rock Band or make a Beatles Rock Band 2 now.
I know. I just want to play friggin' Final Countdown with a keytar. Do you know how awesome that would be?
Yeah. Oh, dude, just like any one of the great synth runs of the 70s, I would totally go nuts for.
Oh, they may finally put Toto's Africa in this game.
Yes!
You know what needs to be the final song?
Huh.
Bat Out of Hell.
Ha!
Totally.
I'm down with that.
Imagine playing like
idea.
Layla, but having the piano solo at the end of the song. See, now my mind's racing.
See, there we go. All right, so mad props to them for that.
Yeah, we also have rumors of a pro mode that would, quote, require some actual skill with guitar and bass and may actually teach you a thing or two. So this is that kind of on-again, off-again rumored learn guitar mode. I don't know anything more about it. No one else seems to. We'll see.
All right.
In far less exciting news, Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock is announced. I'm not entirely sure if this is just Guitar Hero 6 or not. It was first let out by Amazon, who had an early post for it, and then they confirmed it on the official Guitar Hero Twitter. It's probably just Guitar Hero 6.
Sure. Or maybe this is that Guitar Hero action game we heard about.
What?
Did we hear about that, or is this something I made up in my mind?
You made that up.
Dang it.
I think that was called Brutal Legend. But...
Oh, yeah.
But point.
So this is some crazy news here. Insomniac has announced that they are going multi-platform through the EA Partners Program.
Yep. That was pretty shocking when I saw that. Like, what? Those guys have always been Sony first party, but...
Well, no, they've always been a completely independent studio. They just always work
right,
on Sony
right,
hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is them moving to having a game on the 360. It should be pretty interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that intrigues me, you know, not just because, all right, yeah, you know, Insomniac is going to 360, but also that means that they're moving to a new IP, since Sony owns all of the IP that they've worked with over the past, like, you know, at least 5-6 years. So, you know, whatever they're doing on the 360 is going to be something new entirely, and that... I always love seeing new material out of studios I respect. That's going to be really rad.
You also see, too, on their video podcast this week, they revealed a look at a canceled game they had for the PS2.
The Girl with Stick?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was sort of like a Tomb Raider-inspired thing. Basically, it got canned because it wasn't very fun.
So there's always a problem.
Yeah.
That can be a bit of a snag sometimes, you know.
It
hurts sales a little.
Looks beyond good and evil-y.
Yeah, it did. Very much so.
I have to look at that.
I still don't like Resistance, by the way.
Yeah, I don't either.
But anyways. I love Ratchet and Clank, though.
Oh, yes. Ratchet and Clank's fucking awesome. I just never felt very strongly about Resistance. It's cool, I guess. I just didn't get into it.
Yeah, it's always just been fine.
It's one FPS. It's one FPS series too many.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, we have some shakeups at Microsoft with both Robbie Buck and Jay Allard leaving the company. Robbie Buck's reasons for leaving basically seem to be that, like, basically the launch of Natal this winter is going to extend the 360 platform by about another 3 years. I guess just with his career goals, he doesn't want to commit to that timeline. He feels like he's done with Xbox. Jay Allard, it's nothing. It's not been said outright, but it sounds like he's kind of disgruntled with Microsoft for shooting down a lot of his ideas or not getting fully behind them. He's the guy who designed the Xbox, designed the Zune, and he was working on this tablet computing device that Microsoft
the Courier.
Working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, which looked pretty friggin' badass.
The Courier was fucking awesome, man. Because, I mean, there was this weird sort of switch between Apple and Microsoft where it used to be that Apple was targeting creative professionals and Microsoft was all about the consumer end. And as Apple started, you know, targeting more at consumers with, like, you know, iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and everything, it seemed like with the Courier, Microsoft was trying to make a device that was sort of equivalent to the iPad, but aimed more at making people productive. And that's why I was so excited about it. And when I found out they canned it, I mean, I was shocked. Because everybody that I knew or had heard of who had seen it was, like, totally excited about it. And I'm pretty sure it would have sold really well, but, you know, I mean, if that's why he left, I can't say I blame him.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically like two iPads glued together with a hinge. I imagine it would have been pretty expensive.
I mean, it might have been. It was, I don't know, it was going to be quite a bit smaller and just, like, have, like, a different kind of interface focus entirely. But, yeah, maybe it was a cost thing. Who knows?
Yeah. You know what else might be expensive? Project Natal. We have a number of rumors coming out that are suggesting a $149.99 price point, which is far above the $50 to $80 range a lot of people guess for the device. Of course, this is all rumor. What do you think a $149 price point for this thing means for the success of the device?
That's actually an either-or thing, so I don't go too much into that.
Okay, moving on. We also think it might be called the Wave.
The Wave.
Yeah,
is it the
again.
Wave of the future? Is that what they're going for?
I don't know. This is a super rumor stuff.
The
we'll find
Microsoft
out all this in a
wave.
Month.
I hope that they make everyone at E3 do the Wave when they introduce it.
Oh, God. There's definitely going to be
actually, that's right.
Like
they,
that.
They have Cirque du Soleil going. They're going to open up their conference, and they're going to do a show and stuff.
You gonna go to that?
No, I don't get to go to that.
That's too bad.
No, well, you know, I know my place.
So,
what, you don't rate Cirque du Soleil? You're not that high up the ladder yet.
He's just an intern, man.
I'm a writer now, by the way. We're all
badass.
Writers now. Well, you know, it's nice. It's a title change. It sounds
less.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah, we're all writers now instead of interns.
Oh. That's exciting.
Yes, thank
you. I didn't
know
that. Congratulations.
Yes, keep
That's
going.
That's rad, dude.
This is not the Mike Minotti show, despite my numerous attempts. So, let's continue.
Okay. Next weekend on Fox will be a Red Dead Redemption short of some sort, directed by the director of The Road, using all in-game assets.
I heard this is actually more like a trailer than a short.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of like a very long cutscene.
Wait, directed by the director of The Road?
Yeah, I forget his name.
I don't remember the name of the director, but wow, they're
John
going,
Hillcoat.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but they're going for the Cormac McCarthy connection. That's pretty wild. Although I would be very impressed if it was better than that fan trailer from about a week and a half ago that was cut to Ennio Morricone's Ecstasy of Gold.
Yeah, I saw
because
that
trailer was badass.
I didn't see that.
Far better than anything that you can look it up. It's just a lot better than anything that Rockstar put out themselves.
I feel like Rockstar's trailers kind of misrepresent John Marston a little bit.
They do. Well, I mean, they try to make him look like a, you know,
badass.
Like this kind of angry badass. You know, when he is in fact like a much more likable character than that. But
right,
that's a Rockstar thing. they need to make
this game look more Rockstar than it actually is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, you know, I mean, it's Rockstar San Diego. These aren't the same guys who made Grand Theft Auto, but, you know, Rockstar New York is like, let's make it look like Grand Theft Auto so it sells more. So it's...
Hey, if you have that R logo, people are going to think Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true. Or All Midnight right, well, Club.
Maybe not. What's next, AJ?
We have rumors of a Team Eco HD collection coming Q1 2011. This would be Eco and Shadow of the Colossus for the PS3 in HD. Probably to drum up excitement for The Last Guardian.
Yes, I would totally drum up that piece of excitement.
I would be greatly in favor of this, if only for the fact that it would be the first time that that Eco was released in a North American territory without that shitty box art.
Yes.
God, yes. That box art is so terrible. Every time I take the copy off my shelf, I just get like a little furious when I'm looking at it because it just misrepresented the game so badly that I really think it could have actually sold well and done well financially if it didn't look so silly.
Agreed. I would not disagree with you. No.
Yes.
I would very much like them to be packaged with the same style packaging as something out of the Criterion Collection, just this like very clean sort of iconic thing. Even if it was just the Japanese box art for Eco on one side and the box art for Shadow of the Colossus on the other with no titles or anything.
It would probably be a very bad-looking like thing where it'll just have like a picture.
The two boxes.
Yeah.
It's going to have the two boxes next to each other with some like it's going to be dirt in the background or something.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Next.
People who work in packaging.
Yes. Smack. Mark Hamill has said that after Arkham Asylum 2, he is done with the Joker.
Whoa.
He apparently thought he was done with it for good after the animated series ended, but after they told him that Paul Dini and Kevin Conroy were on the first Arkham Asylum, he thought, okay, you know, maybe this will be a good way to go out because I like those guys. Then when they showed him the story pitch for Arkham Asylum 2, he really liked what they were doing with that, but he said, this is it, this is the last hurrah. A lot of people are thinking the Joker might actually die in this game.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
That's pretty heavy.
I know.
That's like killing Superman, except not.
It'll be hard to sell Arkham Asylum 3 without Joker, though.
Yep. Who knows? Maybe Mr. Freeze will end up being really good in the game.
Yeah, maybe or maybe not. Next.
sadly,
only if they get
Blizzard...
Schwarzenegger to do the voice.
Yes.
No, it's
chill out. You know what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
It's going to be Maurice LaMarche, and it's going to be awesome, and no one else knows who he is but me.
That's nice. Keep going.
Anyway, Blizzard has sadly announced that there will be no LAN support in StarCraft II after hinting that it might happen.
Yeah.
Liars. I don't know. No, I don't like this.
I don't either. I mean,
I don't like that they're making the PC less of an open platform.
Because, like, I don't know. Like I feel like RTS is, like, one of the last great bastions of pick-up-and-play LAN gaming. I still think back to when I played Warcraft 3 an entire summer with, like, 8 of my friends. Because we all got laptops to go to college with, so we could, like, bring them over and play Warcraft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like even, I mean, fortunately they haven't gotten there yet, but I do feel like first-person shooters are slowly heading away from that. You know, if Modern Warfare 2 is any indication, I worry that everything will kind of shift to matchmaking. And, like, that's cool. It's just, if you want to, you know, if you want to, like, kind of foster a community around the game that you're playing instead of just kind of, like, dick around and compete online, it's so much better to either be able to put up a dedicated server or just get a whole shit ton of people into a room together with some beer and chips and, like, actually interact like people do, you know?
Eh. That's so 1990s.
Ah.
Looking at people in the eye.
Next.
Whatever.
NBA Live is becoming NBA Elite. They are rebranding the franchise. I don't know if this means the game's going to be, like, completely different or not. Seems like they're going to be focusing a lot more on, like, the right analog stick controls your hand with the ball, so if you want to, like, dribble behind the back, you, like, swoop around and use it for shooting.
Interesting.
Well, it ain't NBA Jam, so whatever.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Very true.
Exactly. Next.
Final item. Let's do some home bashing. We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Home's still around.
Yeah, and Kirk Ewing, who is the home developer Vimy, I didn't even know that's who makes it, had this to say. Home is due to come out of its beta testing phase in December of this year.
Sony then came out and said that wasn't true, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it gets better, as this quote continues. Most people think that Home is shit. I'm here to say that it is not.
Wait, what?
That's a great quote.
I would like him to show me that it's not, but...
Wait.
It's kind of hard to not judge for yourself.
Just wait, open it is up this take a direct quote?
That is the direct quote. That was his great rebuttal. Most people think that Home is shit. I'm here to say that it's not.
Yeah, well, I know you're dumb, but what am I?
Basically.
That... Damn.
I don't know. Whatever. Home. Come on. Let's not even dignify Home with airtime.
Okay. In that case, I'm done.
Good, then.
Rock right. on.
You guys ready for the Great American Ninja Guy gaming quiz?
Oh, man. Yes.
Number one, what is the greatest selling game of all time?
That would be The Sims, I think.
Oh, no, dude, Modern Warfare 2.
Is it?
Oh, well, actually, no, of all time, no. I'm thinking of day one sales. It might still be The Sims.
I think it is. We'll go with The Sims.
I didn't even see Sims on the top 10. It's Wii Sports.
Does that count?
Sure, it counts.
That's bullshit.
Well, it does. So there.
Ow.
Even still, you were definitely not right with The Sims. Question two. What year did Donkey Kong come out?
Donkey Kong? I don't know, like 82? Am I going too old?
81. I'm going to say 81.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that.
81 it is.
Hey!
Yeah. Wow, I didn't fuck up.
Question three. What was the subtitle for Super Mario Land 2?
Ooh.
Super Mario. The 6 golden coins.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nice.
Question four. How many years were there between Super Mario 64 and Super Mario Sunshine?
Wow, let's see.
Not like plot-wise. I mean, between releases.
Oh, of course.
Mario 64 was 96.
It's 96, and Sunshine was...
2002?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Was it? I'm going to say 6 years.
Yeah, that sounds right. 6 years.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, three in a row, guys. Question five. Did Super Mario Sunshine sell 3.5 million copies, 5.5 million copies, or 10.5 million copies?
Oh.
I'd say 5.5.
I have no clue.
We'll go with 5.5.
Correct.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right, here's the bonus question. If you get this, guys, you guys win. How about that?
Oh, man.
Oh, damn.
I'm excited.
What is the capital of the Mushroom Kingdom?
That's the capital? Is it like Peach's Castle?
That is not a town. Paper Mario.
Yeah, it's in Paper Mario. Yeah.
Shit.
I'm pretty sure it was alliterated. It was like Toadstool Town or something. I don't know if that was it though.
We'll go with that. Toadstool Town it is.
Toad Town.
Ah!
You lose. Man.
You bastard.
Well, it's not my fault. Told you. Yeah, it's close. Almost. All right, guys. Time for either or.
All right.
Here's the way it goes down. I've got 10 questions. Oh, no, 10 things here. You pick one or the other. Then I'm grading you, whatever, scoring you. And then at the end, we have a lightning round. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Starting with AJ, as we always do. It's the home field advantage. AJ, 2D Mario or 3D Mario?
Can I say Mario Galaxy 2 and have both of them count?
No.
Damn it.
What segments in those games do you prefer, then?
I guess I'll still go with 3D. I like 2D Mario, don't get me wrong, but just particularly when you look at what they pull off in Galaxy with the 3D platforming in that game, it's so good. And I never have trouble in that, like, in that game in particular, there's never trouble with camera angles or not knowing where I'm going or not feeling like I'm in control ever. It's just, like, they nail it. I don't know how they do it so much better than everyone else, but they do, and so I'm going to go with 3D.
George.
3D Mario. Just because, like, playing it in 3D gives you so much more of a feeling of adventure and exploration. And, like, I still remember playing Super Mario 64 for the first time. And, you know, I mean, knowing it was a Mario game, like, it wasn't this, like, totally unfamiliar thing, but it was, it just felt so new and so big because suddenly, you know, there was this huge expanse of stuff that I could do. And, you know, I mean, I like feeling like I'm getting to explore or something, and the 3D Mario games definitely captured that much more than the 2D ones did for me.
Point, George.
Bah.
George, yeah. Assassin's Creed 2 or Red Dead Redemption?
Red Dead Redemption, man. I mean, I might be biased just because I had that weird sort of fluke scenario with Assassin's Creed 2 being
sorry,
really
Assassin's
buggy
Creed 2
when
really...
I played it.
It didn't really gel with you, did it?
It didn't. No, it's just, and you know, I mean, not that it's a bad game. It's just for some reason, I couldn't relate to it. Red Dead Redemption, though, I mean, I'm gay for westerns, so it's just, you know, just the fact that it's a western was, you know, was enough to begin with. But also, I found the dialogue to be fantastic. Like the characters actually talk like, you know, human beings, and they have. You know, they have interactions that I didn't really expect to see or hear in a game, and that is that was important to me. So yeah, definitely Red Dead, man.
AJ.
Yeah, I will also go with Red Dead. I mean, I love Assassin's Creed 2 quite a bit, but it is the story writing and all that really sets Red Dead apart for me. I mean, also like George said too, it's just there was always this cry in gaming that we never got any Westerns. And we got some Westerns, but they were, like, just okay. Like, they were solid sevens. And we finally have that grade-A, amazingly done Western game.
We don't have very many other games set in the Renaissance Italy either, though.
Yeah, that hasn't really been a calling fan. I don't know. I don't feel like that's been, like, a missed time era. And there's been sort of stuff in that, mostly in, like, strategy games and what have you.
Okay, fair enough. Point AJ.
Yay.
AJ, Super Mario Sunshine. Underrated or rated just right?
Underrated. I think totally. First of all, it was very daring in the way that the game kind of had a single setting to it, as opposed to the lands. It was all kind of tropical themed. And then people really seem to think that the whole flood mechanic made it too easy, but they all overlooked those, like, challenge stages that were in the game that took the flood away from you, and they were just kind of these arbitrary platforms that had, like, classic Mario music playing in them and everything. Those were really good. Like, I could have just played a game of those and been really happy with it. My only issue with the game ever was I didn't like the way Yoshi was implemented in it, but it was fine. But that game just had, like, a whole... It had a charm to it. It helps that I like tropical things a lot, but I just really enjoyed it.
Okay. There's a part two to that. Worthy successor to Super Mario 64 or not?
Yeah, I'd say it was more just a simple evolution that got very specific. I mean, aside from Flood, it played pretty much the same. Whereas Galaxy was really a kind of revolutionary shift, where it's hard to have a dimensional shift again because we already went from 2D to 3D. But like the whole system of the planetoids and everything really helped differentiate it.
George.
I'll say
underrated
that...
Underrated or just right?
I think it was underrated. I mean, I didn't really play very much of it because, I mean, just like, you know, just like Assassin's Creed 2 and Resident Evil 4, for some reason, I couldn't get into Mario Sunshine, but I still, like, I recognize it for being very good, and it's definitely much better than a lot of the reviews made it out to be. It's a solid game.
Point AJ for playing Mario Sunshine.
Aw. Yeah.
George.
Not fair enough.
Yoshi's Island or Super Mario World?
Ooh. I'm going to have to give that to Yoshi's Island. with the one exception of that really obnoxious baby Mario crying noise every time you lost him, because that was that made my teeth grind. But aside from that, it just, you know, just mechanically, Yoshi's Island felt much smoother, and everything felt much more alive. There was a lot more animation going on in that game, and that just made the whole, it made the whole experience just feel more lively, and I don't know, it felt better to interact with it. It was less sort of just kind of straight one stage to another kind of feeling.
AJ.
Well, after 3 years, you convincing me that Mario World is in fact better than Mario 3. I'm going to go with Super Mario World. I don't know, that game just, something about it, again, it was a very big generational shift, it felt like. All of a sudden, the game was bright, colorful, cartoony, and, like, it's really good. Like, you could go back and play it today and be perfectly fine with it. Yoshi's Island, I like it a lot. I don't know, though. It's just, it's hard for me to put my finger on why I don't like it better. It's a really good game as well. I don't know, it's just, I feel like when you had to factor in all the egg throwing and that management and the whole losing Baby Mario thing, which was really annoying, it just didn't feel as pure of an experience, I guess. Which doesn't say it's bad, it was just different, and I just liked Mario World better.
It's hard to score this one, because I almost like George's argument more, but I definitely agree with you, AJ. No one gets a point.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
He could have given us both a point, but he decided to give no one a point.
No one gets one.
Just being a despot, of course. Fine.
I feel like AJ was pandering me too much. He knows I like Super Mario World.
Well, I like it too.
Alright, AJ. Natal. You didn't sound enthusiastic enough. You were able to kind of explain why you didn't like Yoshi's Island, but not really, and you weren't able to explain why you liked Mario World enough for me.
Fair enough.
Natal, has a chance or doomed to fail?
It has a chance.
How good of a chance?
It'll depend a lot on that price point. Here's my thing now. I'm wondering if, because it is real, that higher price point, if that means this is the one that has the processor on it. Because quite frankly, if Project Natal games can't at least look as good as like Gears of War 2, and we're relegated to basically Wii HD games, fuck it, I don't want that. I wanted to take core games I like and enhance them. Whether it just be something as simple as eye tracking, or if it is some kind of motion implementation into a, you know, a established 360 franchise. If it's just kicking a red ball at some blocks, it'll have a little bit of mystique to it. People think it's neat. But like people who own a Wii and bought it because of all the hype around that, they're not going to rush out and buy it at all. I don't think they're going to do that regardless. If they were smart, they'd be targeting the hardcore gamers first and let them spread the word about it. But that's not what they're doing.
George.
I think Natal has a, it's got a very slim chance, and honestly, I think the biggest deciding factor is going to be what the price of the bundle is. Because they're going to have to bundle it.
The rumor is a $2.99 bundle that's an arcade with an Natal.
That, I think, gives it a decent chance. I mean, $300 for a 360 arcade and a Natal.
That's still $100 more than a Wii, though.
That's true, but, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of it in comparison to, like, the, you know, other 360.
Sure, but if they want to compete with the Wii, and
I guess that's the thing, because I honestly, and, you know, maybe it's because I haven't been paying enough attention, or maybe it's because they haven't communicated it well enough, but I honestly have no clue whether or, like, what sector of the market they're going for. Because sometimes I'll hear a bunch of shit about how they're aiming for the Wii sector of the market, and they're really going for that, and it seems that way. But then they'll come right around and say, oh, Natal is going to add so much to all of our hardcore games and all of this. And, you know, I mean, it seems like they're just trying to, they're trying to release this this device whose functionality they can then inject to their entire software library, and they're kind of trying to cover everything. At which point, what's going to be much more important is whether or not like the the price kind of sits at a comfortable compromise between a Wii and, like, you know, a 360 Elite with a Natal or whatever. You know, like, whether or not a customer actually feels like they're getting some kind of savings from buying the bundle. So, I mean, in any case, I still think it has a really slim chance. It's not zero, but it's going to be an uphill battle for them.
Point, George. George, Killzone 3, care or don't care?
Don't really care. Killzone 2 was good, and, you know, as I said, I replayed it recently, and I enjoy it. Killzone 3, if it turns out to be awesome, I'll pick it up, but I'm not, you know, I'm not getting totally pumped about it, because, I mean, if its only distinguishing feature is the fact that it's in 3D, I mean, even forgetting the fact that I'm physiologically incapable of it, I don't really see that alone as being enough to make the game worthwhile. You know, if they were saying, oh, we're making a game that has, you know, all of this stuff, and it just also happens to be in 3D, okay, and then maybe. But, you know, on the other hand, jetpacks, fuck. Nah, I still got Tribes and Halo Reach, man. I think I'm good.
AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a game I'll play eventually, but it's not anything I'm going to be, like, waiting on pins and needles for. It'll be fine, I'm sure. And, you know, it'll probably have a very similar impact that Killzone 2 did.
I didn't like AJ's argument to that very last point. Shoot. Okay, you both get a point.
Yeah. All right.
You guys are supposed to be more competitive than that. You guys are supposed to like that. Oh, yeah, you are tied, though. Okay. Sonic Colors or Sonic the Hedgehog 4, AJ?
Oh, Sonic 4. Like I kind of hinted at in the news segment, I think Sonic Colors is just going to be the next shitty Sonic game that, like, you know, they would have made regardless of Sonic 4 or not.
What if Sonic 4 is the next shitty Sonic game also?
I'll just cry. There's a lot of speculation that the reason Sonic 4 was delayed is because of, like, all the backlash from that minecart level that was leaked. Maybe they're thinking, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that stuff. So who knows? This could be a good thing. Sonic Colors seems like it's the game that they're sending out to those kids who, for whatever reason, did like Sonic the Hedgehog Unleashed and the 06 Sonic the Hedgehog, and they'll get that. And Sonic 4 is being made for the people who want the sequel to Sonic 3, and I fall in the latter category.
George.
Do I have to pick one?
I mean, okay.
I mean, if it's down to either one of them, like, it would have to be Sonic 4. I mean, I don't even really have very high hopes for Sonic 4 necessarily, but, you know, at least I feel that Sonic 4 is trying to sort of hold a little bit closer to the integrity of well, whatever's left of the integrity of the franchise, whereas Sonic Colors just, I mean, you know, from what little I've heard about it just strikes me as, you know, as you guys mentioned earlier, as Sega just kind of grasping blindly at the Mario Galaxy trophy.
Jeez, once again, you guys agree too much. Point both of you.
Still tied.
No Land in StarCraft 2. Big deal or not a big deal? AJ. Wait, no, George.
I was going to say it's George's
turn. Oh, is it? Oh,
my bad.
Whoops,
I was confused, too. I just said things.
Oh, okay. I think it's a big deal. You know, and I still don't really understand what the rationale is. I mean, I know they say that they want everyone to be connected to Battle.net at all times, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be connected to Battle.net and then just actually, like, have the like server and client connect to each other over a LAN instead of going through the Battle.net servers first. And, I mean, you know, people will get around it, and, you know, people will probably all, like, kind of get into a room together and play an online game. It's just that I feel like it takes a lot out of what StarCraft has always been for a lot of people, which is a chance to like get a whole bunch of people into a room, just like drop a router in the middle of a table, plug everybody into each other, and just fucking go. You know, it adds another layer of abstraction, and you know, and then at that point you're also kind of dependent on whether or not somebody's internet connection is fast enough to handle 8 people playing StarCraft 2 on one line. And that can, I really feel like that can hurt the game's longevity with its like major sort of core demographic.
AJ?
Well, not only do I agree with your point about how like it impacts just, you know, people, 8 friends getting together at someone's house and having to go online like that, but what does this do for the professional gaming scene in South Korea? Like, that's how they do it, through a LAN. Will it work as well for them if they have to have everyone logged into Battle.net and playing it like that? Because now you have, in the professional scene, like, lag might be entering into the picture now, and that'll be an issue. And I mean, obviously for America, this isn't quite a concern, but let's face it, that game is incredibly popular over there. And I wonder how they feel about this.
H.A. trying to appeal on behalf of the Koreans. Not working for me, Point George.
What?
Wow.
I agree with all his other stuff.
Oh, sure.
I was just trying to make a unique point.
AJ, Waluigi, needs a game or doesn't need a game?
No. He's not even made by Nintendo. Camelot made him for their sports games. It's like, technically, Nintendo's never really acknowledged the existence of Waluigi, as far as I could tell.
He was in Smash Bros. As not a playable character, but he came out.
Whatever. I don't know. I mean, what would a Waluigi game even be that's not a Mario, Wario, or Luigi game?
This came from an interview from
I saw Charles Martinet.
He said a Waluigi game should be like him just cheating.
But like, how's that different from a Wario game? Maybe
Wario's
they should make
a treasure
like,
hunter. Wario just maybe, tries to be evil. I don't know if he cheats.
They should make a Wario Waluigi game that's like a compliment to Mario Luigi.
Have you ever
not just Waluigi? I don't see a point in that. I don't know.
Have you ever seen the Brawl in the Family comic?
No.
It's really funny, and they like do just like some Waluigi comics sometimes. They're just hilarious to me.
I've seen those.
George knows what I'm talking.
Yes.
It's like, Waluigi time.
Yeah.
He
basically
okay, George,
just glares at people, and then they start to look like him. okay, first of all, he doesn't need a game. Second of all, his name really pisses me off, right? Because Wario is just Mario with the M turned upside down. Waluigi is just Luigi with a Y at the beginning. That is not consistent at all. At the very least, they should have turned the L upside down, at which point it might kind of sort of look like an F or a T, in which case he could be Fuigi, which would be kind of funny. You know, like, but, like, regardless, I feel like I'm kind of setting myself up to get lol-poned here when I say that I have no clue, you know, how they could make an interesting game out of that character. But on the other hand, I could never have predicted WarioWare. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll make WaluigiWare Mansion, you know, and it'll be like you play mini games with a vacuum cleaner to like suck up ghosts, and I don't know. I think it would be a terrible idea.
Point to nobody. Screw you guys. Waluigi totally needs a game. What the hell is wrong with you guys? He's amazing.
God damn it.
Look, I had that same feeling about Waluigi like 10 years ago. I'm totally sold on him now. He's hilarious. That's so great. He just goes around. It's awesome.
There you go. That's your entire game. No goals, be, A button, no objectives. Button.
Push just... X to wham.
Well, that would be it. Okay. I could totally see Nintendo going all avant-garde and making something that had no goals, no objectives. There's literally no game, just an empty game world where you just run around and go meh.
I want to make that game.
And that would be Nintendo's first foray into the art game world. And I'm sure that Tale of Tales would cream their pants over it.
Oh, man. All right.
Just saying.
George, Blur commercial, good or bad?
The what?
The Blur commercial.
Oh, I didn't even see it. I heard something about how the
this
whole...
This isn't good for you, then.
Okay, the only thing that I know about it was that somebody made some comment that the whole point of the Blur commercial was telling you that, hey, now you can play Mario Kart without feeling gay.
Right.
Was that basically what the commercial was saying?
Sure.
Okay, well then fuck those guys with a rake.
AJ?
Yeah, I didn't see the commercial, but I didn't see,
how
like,
did you not see
like,
the commercial?
I
saw it five times a day.
I haven't watched wrestling in a couple weeks.
Oh, screw you. It was all over the NBA game, too. You guys should actually watch TV.
I don't have TV, Doc.
George, you remind me of one friend. He was my friend for 10 years. Maybe he's listening right now. He never had a TV for a while. It always pissed me off.
Sorry? Question mark.
No,
anyway,
I did see.
I did see like the print ad that's like, I don't know, combat racing for grown-ups or whatever. And yeah, like that. I got like that's the insinuation. And it's like, okay, that's cute. Shut up. I like your game, so don't piss me off about it now.
It seems like a lot of people like Mario Kart, so to insult people for liking Mario Kart may not be a great marketing strategy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess, what, do they assume that there's this entire group of repressed hardcore gamers that want to play Mario Kart but feel uncomfortable about it? Because if that's the case... then they need to do some more research, because Mario Kart is the shit, and I have yet to meet a single person who was so fucking macho that they couldn't enjoy just fucking hurling turtle shells at people. Fuck them.
All right, guys, lightning round time. You're tied at 4-4. Despite 10 questions, we only add up to 8.
Jesus.
All right, guys, lightning round. You know, speed counts. So you ready? AJ right. always dominates the lightning round. I'm sick of it. I don't know what
I'll
it is.
Try,
because
I'll
he lives
try
closer
to be
to
faster.
Me? Does he live closer to me so he comes through the mic faster?
That has to all be right. it. That must be it. I blame technical difficulties.
Ready?
Preemptively.
Yep.
Donuts or cupcakes?
Donuts.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Blue lightsaber or green lightsaber?
Green lightsaber.
Blue. Electric or acoustic?
Electric.
Acoustic.
Ah, damn.
Mother
sandals
of God.
Or sneakers?
Sneakers.
I didn't hear the question because George was talking.
Sorry.
Sandals or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Sneakers.
Yeah, well. 3 AJ, 2 George. AJ wins by 1 point.
Yeah!
Ah, damn.
Total score 7-6. Hey, have you lost either or?
I don't think so.
We've done 10 now. I think you might have lost a couple early on, but you've been on a tear lately. You always dominate the lightning round. Even again, you were fast. The only ones George got were the ones, except for the last one where he talked so you couldn't hear me, and the third one where you just said the wrong lightsaber.
Darn.
Interesting. All right, then. We're done there. Did you enjoy that?
Sweet. I did.
That was...
Time for our week in gaming. All
right.
Who likes Mario?
I do.
I like Mario.
Shut up, George.
What?
You didn't get Mario Galaxy 2. Shut up.
Aw.
No, Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's great.
It's friggin' awesome.
You know
as
what
hell.
It is? It's the most... creative Mario game I can remember. Almost every level they do at least something different. Like it's not just platforming almost ever. And like, you know, it's not they come up like every other game there's maybe 5 tricks that you kind of see repeated throughout the game. There's something weird or different going on everywhere. It's not just limited to power-ups and stuff like that. Like there's like some levels where like the gravity will change and you only know it according to, like, the beat of the Mario Underground theme song.
Yeah.
And stuff, crazy stuff like that. The whole game's just been great. Go ahead, AJ. What do you think?
So, God, where to start?
I know.
I really like that they have the 2.5D levels in the game. I think they're really
there
good.
There are a lot of 2D levels. I'll tell you what. As much as, you know, people might have liked New Super Mario Bros. Wii, this kind of... The 2D levels in this game kind of make those look pretty amateurish. don't they?
Well, they're a lot simpler. You still have basically your full move set in the 2D levels in this game, so you have the wall jumping and the backflipping. Yeah, they're 2.5D. They move, they rotate. Whereas New Super Mario Bros. Wii is straight up left to right. That was actually just straight up 2D, really. Also, to the Kotaku guy, fuck you, the soundtrack is amazing.
It's not too grandiose?
No.
I don't get that, because it's not like every level is like...
No, there was the first level, the first Yoshi level where you get the chili peppers is playing like the Super Mario World music.
Which is awesome, by the way.
And then when you get Yoshi, the Congo drums come into it. I'm like, yes!
So good. I love the song also, and the...
I don't even understand how anything can be too grandiose.
That's basically saying it's too awesome.
With me. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? What are you're bitching about something being too, like, kickin' rad? Shut up.
Right. I thought everyone was upset that video game music wasn't melodic enough anymore. Maybe not. I don't know. But no, it's awesome. Especially for a Mario game.
I've heard people say that it gets cliche, and it does, but, you know, that's a totally different thing.
Also, Yoshi's implementation of the game is awesome.
Oh, Yoshi's great in it.
I like the way how you, like, not only do you just point and click to use his tongue, but if you can do it fast enough, you could get multiple things in one go. But, like, it's kind of tricky to pull off. You have to be pretty quick with how quickly you can highlight things and hit the B button.
I just like the fact that Yoshi, he just kind of controls differently than Mario. He has a different feel to him.
God, what else? Yeah, I mean, like you said, obviously the worlds and levels in the game are just astoundingly creative. Looks gorgeous.
What do you think of sort of the removal of the hub world?
I'm fine with the way it works.
Do you prefer, like, which one did you like better, I wonder, from you?
I don't know. I was actually trying to think that through as I was playing it earlier today. I'm really not sure.
It's kind of hard to say. There are a lot more worlds in this one than the other one. Like, in this one... Every place might have two or three stars, whereas in the first Galaxy, I think most places may have had four or something like that.
Right.
Or there were a lot of weird one-offs. So I guess it might make more sense here. I don't really prefer one or the other.
Yeah, this is one of those Wii games where you could just say it's a good-looking game, and you don't have to have qualifier for a Wii game, you know?
Yeah.
So... Better than Mario Galaxy 1?
So far... It's hard for me to say. I mean, I'm just getting to the end of World 2. And I'm taking my time with it, because I'm getting, like, every star I can as
I go.
I'm going to
beat it, then I'll worry about getting all the stars. I'll go ahead and tell you that it is. You can take my word for it.
I think so, too. I mean, basically, it's Mario Galaxy 1, but just, like, continued...
Sure, but like I said, I say it's very creative, and that kind of continues throughout.
And also, like the new power-ups, the rock mushroom and the cloud flower, I really like them. They're really good.
Cloud Mario might be one of my favorite Mario power-ups in a long time.
Yeah.
Cloud Mario is great, and so is Rock, really, but I love Cloud Mario. I love the way he even looks. That's awesome to me. Best Mario game?
Possibly. I mean, I kind of thought Galaxy was the best Mario game, so...
I still, even after Galaxy, I still thought World. I'm not sure now. Might be tough. I'm thinking maybe Galaxy 2. We'll see, though.
Ooh.
But it's because if you fought, you're at the end of World 2, so you haven't fought Bowser at all yet.
No.
Okay.
Although the beginning of the game, when he's kind of in the background, pretty sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good. It's good stuff. Been playing more Red Dead Redemption. Oh, I beat Red Dead Redemption, actually.
That's cool.
Oh, awesome. Oh.
Man, is Red Dead Redemption good.
Yes, is.
I really, really liked that game. Why do I hate Grand Theft Auto 4 so much, but love Red Dead Redemption?
I don't know. I'm exactly the same way. I can't get into the Grand Theft Auto games, and like I was kind of excited about Red Dead just because it's a Western. I wasn't really expecting to dig the whole open world thing, but god damn, it's fucking amazing.
It's so good. I think it really just does come down to writing. I think a lot of it comes down to writing, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that the character is actually likable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, John
Marston is awesome.
John Marston's one of the great... He's probably the best video game character to have been created since Nathan Drake.
I can agree with that. Well...
Yeah.
I would... Yeah. No, I do agree, actually. It's true.
But...
And I guess I should say, too, since we last recorded, I've had some time with the multiplayer.
And multiplayer's fun. It was a little buggy when I first was playing it.
Yeah, that first night we tried it, the invisibility bugs are still
right, but
yeah, all over the place. But I played it with Chris, what was it, yesterday? I don't know, yesterday, 2 days ago. And, yeah, all that's fixed, and, you know, it's really cool. Right. Really cool.
It is.
Yeah,
it's definitely, it's not like...
The free roam is so much fun.
Right, it's not like a Call of Duty kind of thing, where it's like, you just play deathmatch after deathmatch after deathmatch. It's left, you know, I don't think it's something that people will be playing a year from now, but it's definitely, it's a very cool supplement.
I mean, I just I just love the experience of going exploring with other players.
Sure.
You know, there are few games that give you that feeling. I mean, even like there are even very few MMOs that feel like that.
No, totally.
Because
MMOs
even
nowadays
are so like they're so focused on like raiding and instances and all that other kind of bullshit that like I just don't like. But
Everything that they've been doing in WoW in, like, the past year or so has been, like, to get rid of traveling.
Yeah.
You get teleported to instances automatically now if you just say you want to do them.
What, really?
All kind of things. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can. There's a dungeon finder now.
That's kind of sad, actually.
You know, it kind of is, but it's also necessary. Because the problem with MMOs is that the world is kind of so big. It's hard to say. Like, I think, like, the exploration kind of fun part was, like, when you were level 20 and 30 and you're kind of going through everything like that, and then by the time you get level 40 you have a mount and it's like, okay,
I see the world now. I guess it depends.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking about this recently, actually, between both Alan Wake and Red Dead Redemption, that I am one of the only people that I know who walks everywhere in video games. Even in Red Dead, like, unless I'm actually in a hurry or chasing something or I have some kind of time limit, I'm just, you know, either walking or trotting. Because I like that feeling of, like, moving through that world.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's how you know when a game has you, when you purposely walk when you could run because it looks better and more in place with the game.
Yeah, because you want to be in character.
Right.
Yeah.
George, can you even imagine playing a bad character in that game?
No, I can't.
I can't imagine who would do that.
I am completely unable to do a single dishonorable thing in that game. And it's because
John Marston
has written so well.
Right. I feel like you can only be bad in that game because that's the only way you can be good, is if you have the option to be bad.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I feel like if you're playing it bad, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's so funny that, like, I've heard people say, oh, you know, the writing in Red Dead Redemption is so shitty because they make John Marston out to be this, like, really, like, likable, interesting guy, and then he just goes out and kills people all the time. And I go, no, dog, you go out and kill people all the time.
Right.
You're playing this shit. What's your problem?
I do hate people that say, like, well, there's a problem with the writing, though, because John Marston won't reflect what I'm doing if I'm playing an evil character. I'm like, no, you're doing it wrong. Stop being an asshole.
Exactly. Get in character, man. Yeah. That game, I fucking love it.
Make both of you make sure you beat it.
Oh, yeah. I will. I intend to.
Because the ending is... It's definitely one of the most memorable game endings I can recall. At least definitely in recent memory. In an age where a lot of people bitch about endings, I'm sure people will probably find something to bitch about on this one, but, you know, that we're definitely in that age now and nothing has a good ending anymore. This is a good ending.
Wow.
So, definitely be it.
Awesome. Yeah, I will.
But, I was really... Up to now, I was really thinking Mass Effect 2. If I had to pick a game of the year, like, already. Now, it's hard between Mass Effect 2 and Red Dead, and probably even Mario, once that's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty tough already. I feel like I might be thinking Red Dead more than Mass Effect 2 right now, actually. I don't know.
Red Dead is that good, man.
It is good. It is special. Okay, then. George, you've been playing Alan Wake. Me and AJ have not. Tell us about it.
Yes.
Sell me on it. Tell me that's something I need to play when I'm done with Mario.
Okay. I need to kind of put a disclaimer on this, because this isn't necessarily strictly based on the game's quality, but having had like a, you know, a week or so to think about it, I think I can honestly say that Alan Wake is my favorite video game. Period.
Wow.
And okay, I mean, a lot of that is personal because I'm a writer and I directly relate to a lot of the stuff that's in the game. And you know, I can, now that I have some distance from it, I can see some of the flaws in it. It's just that I don't care about them. For instance, the all of the pre-rendered cinematics are from an earlier iteration of the game, and they were outsourced. So the pre-rendered cinematics actually look considerably worse than the in-game graphics, which will kind of throw you off. And the strangest thing is that there is very little variety in the enemy types, but the encounters are always different. The scenario is always completely different. It's like you can sort of compare the actual like structure and pacing of the combat to Halo, where there's only like maybe four or five different kinds of enemies. It's just that every time you encounter them, it's a totally different scenario. You know, like the combat just, you know, also feels really good, even though it's not the core of the game. But and the thing that stuck with me the most, just from like the experience of actually playing this game, and it really sucks that none of the promotional images reflect this. If you do a Google image search for the game, you won't find anything that adequately illustrates what I'm talking about, but every single place in the game feels like an actual place. There's not a single location anywhere in Alan Wake that feels like a level in a video game. Everything feels like you just, yeah, you totally just walked into this building, and it's a real building that is a place. You know, you'll walk into like a shed in some sort of like little either logging facility or, you know, like near a power plant or something, and you can be absolutely certain that there is no other shed anywhere in the game that looks exactly like it, and it actually feels like a place that has a function, that has been used. And there are some games that have like little bits and pieces that are like that, but literally everything in Alan Wake is built that way. And I spent the entire time being absolutely blown away by the attention to detail that Remedy has. And I honestly think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that Remedy Entertainment is literally maybe 35 or 40 people, and they outsourced a lot of the grunt work. So they were able to sort of keep that vision a lot more coherent. I played the game all the way through in a single sitting because I couldn't tear myself away from it. And then one of my friends was like, "Yo, man, how's Alan Wake? Like, what's the deal with it? Can I see it?" And then he and I ended up sitting down and playing the entire game from beginning to end again in a single sitting.
Jeez.
Wow. It, like, and, you know, I would definitely understand if somebody played the game and it didn't resonate with them, and maybe they would, like, maybe they're a little bit more likely to see the little seams and rough patches than I am. But the way it hit me, I felt like I was hit by a bus, man. So, I'll just say that for my part, knowing my taste in video games, it is now my favorite video game.
Interesting. So, what was your make favorite of that what you will. Was it my Wipeout?
No, I mean, that's the game that I play the most often, because, you know, a little bite-sized chunk. I think my favorite game before that was Beyond Good and Evil.
Okay, fair enough. I think you're okay. So George really likes but, Alan Wake.
Yes, I do. And again, that's like a, you know, that's a personal thing. Right. I've already met several people who thought it was shit. So
is the product placement in the game as bad as some people say?
I mean, it's okay. There's product placement in the sense that every time Alan takes his phone out, they sort of like very prominently display the Verizon logo across the top of it. And there are Verizon billboards alongside the road. It's like, it's nothing that you're going to look at and be like, oh, pff, where did that come from? You know, I mean, all of the in-game advertising is in places where there would normally be advertising anyway. It's just that they put a real brand there instead of a fake one. So, I mean, there are one or two points where it's like a little silly, but, you know, it's just whatever. I shrugged it off.
Fair enough. All right.
The only thing that's really hard to get over is the fact that the facial animation in the pre-rendered cutscenes is really bad.
That's why I hear you.
Like comically bad, because the characters open their mouths a little bit too far. Like, their jaws are over-animated, and so they just look like they're going to try to eat each other. But then as soon as it comes
back...
That's
always pleasant.
As soon as it jumps back into the game, it looks perfect. So I'm guessing that they must have done the cinematics years before when the game was still supposed to be open world. And then when they scratched it and started over, they were like, eh, fuck it, let's just keep it instead of doing them all over. But yeah, there's my long rant on Alan Wake. Yeah, Alan Wake was originally going to be an open world game. And then at some point, they all sat down and went, nah, this is shit, let's start over.
Interesting.
So they made it linear. But it's very good.
That was kind of when everything was going to be an open world game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've also just kind of mucked around a little bit with Lost Planet 2. Not a whole lot. I've only spent a couple of hours with it. It's basically Monster Hunter with machine guns, which is totally fine by me. But, you know, I've just kind of screwed with it a little bit. I'll probably spend more time with it once I'm done with Red Dead.
Does it seem intriguing? Because I personally have little to no interest in Lost Planet 2.
It's, I don't know. Capcom definitely made that game for a particular kind of person. You know, that it's if you didn't like the first Lost Planet or Monster Hunter, and if you don't like doing a whole bunch of, like, wild, ridiculous shit in co-op, then, you know, the game isn't really going to do it for you. I mean, I actually really liked the first Lost Planet, so that kind of pulled me into it. And actually, since we were talking about game soundtracks before with Mario Galaxy 2, Lost Planet 2 is proof that if you're going to do the sort of cliched orchestral video game soundtrack, then fucking go all out, man. Do it with gusto.
There
because,
you go.
And they did, you know, because it's just, you know, it's not a unique soundtrack. It's the same just sort of big orchestra, but it's like that turned to 11. It's just this, like, huge bombastic thing. So, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job of it, actually.
I agree with that philosophy totally. I want all my soundtracks to, like, have just this ridiculous, like, 1980s Hollywood movie score. Very, like,
oh, hell
John
yeah.
Williams-esque, you know? I want
just
everything
it,
like that.
Yeah, just make it big, you know?
I just lament the fact that we don't have movies anymore that have, like, really awesome, like, sort of orchestra soundtracks anymore. Okay, I beat Hotel Dusk.
Ooh, what'd you think?
Which was good.
Oh.
I liked it. I was surprised it ended as quietly as it did. If that makes sense. Did you beat it, AJ?
Yeah, I can't remember how it ended. There are multiple endings. I can't even quite remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't... Really?
Pretty sure.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
George, is this true? I assumed you played Hotel Dusk for some reason.
I played it. I didn't finish it.
Never mind then.
Yeah. That's like that. I mean, that was why Alan Wake was such an anomaly for me, because like I'll always start a game and then
don't turn us about,
like,
into about
dude.
Alan Wake again.
No. I'm just saying. I mean, that's why it was so weird for me to finish a game, just because I'll start one and then Full Sail is like, nope, you have no time anymore. So yeah, Hotel Dusk was one of many such casualties.
Fair enough. But no, I enjoyed it a lot. Apparently the sequel came out in Japan this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful we'll get it. Hey, did you play anything else?
Yeah, a couple things. Blur. I got the, what the hell on my computer's playing music? Sorry. Something on the web browser started playing drums. I was like, Blur is very exciting. Anyway. Let me try again. Blur came in from Gamefly. I just played single player of it, and, you know, it's much like the beta. Very, very good. I like it a lot. They have the whole, like, you know, you get, if you have to place at least within third, and if you get third, second, or first, you get lights. And then if you can get the number of fans, which is like the kudos system from Project Gotham, that track requires yet another light. And then they have these, like, fan gates that you activate this power-up, and as you're racing, you're trying to drive through these gates, and if you get through all of them, you also get a light, which is really hard, because it seems like a lot of times the gates take you away from the good power-ups, and you also have, like, you know, cars that are battling around you, so you're trying to, like, shove them out of the way and not get knocked out of these gates. It's exciting. There's, like, 20 people, too, in the single-player races. They're huge. It's really cool. I like that aspect of just how big it is. I mean, there's not really too much more to it that we didn't find out in the multiplayer beta. It's just, it's really good. I do like it. It's a shame that their advertising is really lame.
How does it compare to what you've played of Split Second?
I've only played the demo. I actually got a copy of Split Second for $10. It arrives tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Awesome.
I would say, based on my impression and not having played Split Second multiplayer at all, seems like Split Second's the better single player, and Blur's going to be the better multiplayer. If that makes sense.
Alright, yeah, I can see that.
Well, doesn't Blur not have single player?
No, that's what I just spent the last 5 minutes talking about.
Then why would you say that Split Second has the better single player? Of course it would.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
You're just pointing out the obvious.
Yeah, I guess.
You suck.
You're confusing me.
You suck. You suck. You suck.
Okay.
You suck.
I'm just saying, it's going to take...
Sorry.
You were just in your own little world there,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, come back to us, Mike. Let's see.
I'll just say it's going to take quite a racing game to pull me away from Wipeout HD.
I know.
We'll see.
Oh, so I did just want to say, this is technically an iPhone game, but this is more for the comedy. They released a light version of GTA Chinatown Wars, a game that I've never even touched. So I was like, okay, I'll humor them and download this to my iPad and try it. It lasted all of about 2 minutes before I turned it off and uninstalled it from my iPad. Holy shit,
really?
It's awful. First of all, the game starts off with this far too long cutscene, where the backstory is explained, where you're this guy whose father was a mob boss for the Chinese mafia or whatever, was killed, and you have to deliver the family sword to your uncle. The family sword, which family tradition dictates goes to the head of the family, which your father founded when he won it in a game of cards or something. So it's not really a family tradition because no one else has had it besides him, but it's really important.
See, everything is kind of a joke in Grand Theft Auto, isn't
it? Here's what I hate, too. The whole opening cutscene is the character talking about what a dick his father was, but he was still an okay guy. Like, everyone of them was like, yo, my father was like a murderer and a drug addict, but he was still an okay guy in his own way. Some say he died worshipping at the temple, but most likely he died worshipping the only two things he cared about, money and cheap hookers. But he was my father. It's like, oh, shut up. Just why you're intentionally trying to make me not like anything that's going on in this game already. So it's like, okay, I get past all these bullshit cutscenes. I finally figured out how to skip them, which took forever. Start the game. Yeah. Start the game, jump in a car, and I'm like, what the fuck? Because you control the game on the iPhone, at least, with you know, virtual thumbstick and buttons. And when you're driving, it just becomes a virtual left and right button. It's not analog. I tried to drive down the street in a straight line. Forget it. You can't do it. It's literally impossible. Like, I would have been fine if the game just automatically drove on the road for me. But no, you can't control it. It's ridiculous. So I just turned it off. I was like, goodbye. Like, you know, and of course, they're all like, oh, this didn't sell well. We don't understand. It must mean M-rated games don't do well on the DS. No, you guys just made a shitty game but don't realize it. I'm sorry. There's no other way to tell
okay.
you that.
I thought I was kind of impressed with it, at least on the DS. I ended up not liking it just because of the normal Grand Theft Auto-isms. But it seems to me that if Grand Theft Auto 4 sold well, I don't know why GTA Chinatown Wars didn't.
I thought it was just shitty. All around.
Just yeah. Nothing. I mean, I blame the bad controls on the fact that you were playing the iPad version.
I don't know. Whatever. The last thing
I mean,
played
like
this week...
Maybe if you had your thumbs on it. iPhone, maybe, but I doubt it.
Yeah. The other thing I played this week, as part of the Wednesday Mac Steam updates, Half-Life 2 and both of its episodes were released for Mac, so I started playing Half-Life 2 again, because they finally the update they've been talking about since like 07 when the Orange Box came out, where Half-Life 2 has achievements and the updated art assets. So
awesome.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Take any other game from 2004 and play it right now, and you will say to yourself, yes, this is a six-year-old game. The graphics aren't that great and blah, 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 blah. Then fire up Half-Life 2. And this
that game didn't age at all,
no,
did it?
No, it feels like a game that was properly released this week.
Well, Half-Life 2 was... Not only was Half-Life 2 better than everything else that year, Half-Life 2 is still the best first-person shooter
yeah,
ever made.
Yeah, it's amazing. Easily. Amazing how that game does not feel like a six-year-old game. It still feels new and fresh as anything else out there. It's incredible how well that
game
is.
Does it really look that much better? Can you really tell? Just tell. Come on, be honest.
No, you mean like with the... I'm not actually... I should double back here. I'm not entirely sure if they did do the graphic enhancements. I know like it has some source updates to it and has the achievements. But it's so good.
They probably just have it using all of the assets like, from the Orange Box. So, you know, fine. So like, you know, an updated...
Alex model,
a couple
and things
of
like that.
Yeah, it's like a couple of updated character models with better, joint weighting on the rigs, so that like they like the geometry doesn't like kind of stretch as much.
Right.
It's like, you know, minor things that you wouldn't really notice unless they were like right next to each other.
Mm-hmm. But again, like I just played up to right where you get the crowbar, and you know you play through the whole beginning of the game. You don't even have a weapon. It's so good.
Oh yeah.
It's so good.
Oh man, I think I'm gonna reinstall it right now.
I know it's phenomenal. And again, you just you take any other game that came out in 2004. I promise you, they don't hold up well nearly as well as this does. It's sick.
I believe it.
I've already played Half-Life 2 like five times in my life. Maybe I'm sure I'll play it again sometime. I don't know about any time this year with everything.
But the achievements, Mike. Achievements.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
Also, the other cool thing that they did, too, with this update for both PC and Mac users is now the games, all of Half-Life 2 games properly support Steam Cloud, so your save files are synchronized to the cloud and everything. It goes both ways with the platforms, too, so you could, like, play it on a desktop PC and then play it on your MacBook, and you'll have all your save files.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Badass.
I think that does it.
All right, let's go to the releases.
Okay. Nintendo has for WiiWare Art Style Light Tracks, Magic Monkey Mayhem, and Viral Survival. On DSiWare is Methyl Torrent, World Poker Tour Texas Hold'em, Real Crimes Jack the Ripper, and Advanced Circuits. There's no Virtual Console game, sadly. Xbox Live Arcade has Doom 2, Voodoo Dice, and Ben 10, The Rise of Hex. I don't know who that is, but he's risen. Games on Demand got Call of Duty 4, Battle Stations Midway, and Battlefield 2 Modern Combat, which is kind of random, but whatever. Hmm. PlayStation Network. Soldner 10-2, Final Prototype, and Super Stacker. On PSP, we have Hex's Force, Mod Nation Racers, and Pinball Heroes Bundle 2, and the PS1 Classic, Delta Force Urban Warfare. Where'd I go? And then goodoldgames.com has Star Wolves and Independence War Deluxe. Star Wolves is some kind of like spaceship RPG-looking thing that I never heard of, but kind of looks neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a little bit of a kind of a Star Control thing going on.
All right, retail releases. We had Blur for PC, PS3, and 360. Super Mario Galaxy 2 for the Wii, which I think is like now the best rated game ever, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Been doing very well with reviews. UFC 2010 Undisputed for 360 and PS3. Mod Nation Racers for the PS3 and PSP. Sword of the Stars, complete collection for the PC. EVE Online, Tyrannus for PC. How about that, George?
I haven't
had much...
Are
you out of the loop now?
No. I mean, you know, I still kind of log in every once in a while to keep my character up to date. I haven't messed around with any of the new game mechanics yet, but I can say with authority that my Scorpion battleship is now a sex machine.
Ooh, fun.
Seriously?
Well, they redid the model for that particular ship just because it didn't age as well as the others. So at some point they were like, ah, screw it, let's just scrap the whole model and do it again. And now it looks really good.
Cool.
There you go.
This is the one that lets you like go on planets, but not like first person,
it's not like you can't actually go down to planets yet, but you can drop like buildings and settlements and sort of do it with this kind of like SimCity sort of Civ mechanic where you're sort of manipulating the whole planetary economy from the top down.
That's cool.
And it seems pretty interesting. I just haven't messed with it because I don't have the time.
Have you used this? What's it called? They have like some kind of new web portal for the game now too. Have you tried that yet?
Yeah, EveGate. It's basically. It's Eve Facebook, essentially.
Can you can you set your training queue and everything from that?
You can't set your training queue.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But you can still look up market information, you can keep track of your corporation's bulletin board, you can send and receive Eve mails. So it basically just helps you do all of the like basic communication shit outside of the game.
It would have been cool if you could set your training queue, because then like you could just be wherever and like just log into a browser
I think they were contemplating it. There are a couple of like little sort of snags that you'd have to get over first. I'm sure they're thinking about it,
right?
But I don't know how far along that is.
All right, this is more EVE Online discussion than I was anticipating.
sorry,
you're
guy.
My Club bad. Penguin. I need to talk about Club Penguin, Elite Penguin Force, Herbert's Revenge for the DS. Also, Backyard Sports, Sandlot Sluggers for the Wii, PC, DS, and 360. Ben 10, Alien Force, The Rise of Hex for PC, City Builder for the Wii, and Command Ops, Battles from the Bulge for PC. All right, then.
Yes.
I guess. Awesome. All right, everyone, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at SquadronOfShame.com or at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
I would like to throw two quick shout-outs to two fans of the show who left some iTunes review. First, Star Island 8, thank you for your just very nice review. To Kyle WM, you are our
new
hero.
Give the man a medal.
You are our hero. If you'd like, you could go on our iTunes page and look at the reviews I'm talking about. And, you know, while you're there, if you want to leave one of your own, we'd appreciate that.
Sure, it's always nice. Always nice. Maybe someday we'll get on that iTunes gaming page.
Top list, yes.
Someday. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. I hope you have a good week. Oh, and little public service announcement. We will not be here.
Oh, yeah,
next
we should
meet
mention
AJ.
That.
We will be on vacation, but we got some guys, we're setting things up. We will be covered. There will be a show. Even in our absence. And shortly after that will be when I'm in E3 and AJ, you won't be. I don't know what we're going
to
do exactly, but
yeah, we'll
have
to figure out something.
There will be a show, don't worry. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Night, guys.
Night.